reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God. Text number 15. Yatra chadya pumanaste. Bhagavan shabda gocharaha.
Bhagavan shabda gocharaha.
Sattvam vishtabhya virajam.
Sattvam vishtabhya virajam.
Swanam no mridayan vrishaha.
Swanam no mridayan vrishaha.
Yatra chadya pumanaste. In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literatures. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Purport, the kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a spiritual sky cannot be understood by any process other than hearing from the description of the Vedas. No one can go see it. In this material world, also, one who is unable to pay to go to a far distant place by motorized conveyances can only understand about the place from authentic books. Similarly, the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky are beyond this material sky. The modern scientists who are trying to travel in space are having difficulty going even to the nearest planet, the moon, to say nothing of the highest planets within the universe. There is no possibility that they can go beyond the material sky, enter the spiritual sky, and see for themselves the spiritual planets Vaikuntha. Therefore, the kingdom of God in the spiritual sky can be understood only through the authentic descriptions of the Vedas and Puranas. So that's the first point. Second point. In the material world, there are three modes of material qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. But in the spiritual world, there is no trace of the modes of passion and ignorance. There is only the mode of goodness, which is uncontaminated by any tinge of ignorance and passion. But in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual sky, only the mode of goodness in its pure form exists. The Lord and his devotees reside in the Vaikuntha planets, and they are of the same transcendental quality, namely Shuddha Sattva, the mode of pure goodness. The Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas, and for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas toward the kingdom of God, the Lord himself helps his devotees. Om Mahajnanati Mirandasya Yananjana Sadakaya Chachurum Militam Tenina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishnam Snapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadahamahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gadin Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sigurum Dinatarinam. Yatra cha dya puman aste. Bhagavan shabda gocharaha. Yatra. In that place. Which place? Vaikuntha. Adya Puman, the original person, Aste, exists, or stays. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, Shabda Gocharaha, is understood by, it's here, understood through the Vedic literature. Understood by the Vedas, or through the Vedas. So, Prabhupada says here, there is only one way to understand the spiritual world. And the example he gives is of he compares the Vedic literature to travel brochures, right? Travel brochure. Srimad Bhagavatam is a travel brochure. It gives us descriptions of what the Vaikuntha Loka looks like, the qualities, the characteristics, the attributes described in the Vedic literature. And this is the only way to know what exists outside of this material creation. Of course, we're living in a society or in a culture that doesn't accept that there is such a place. And so they look at the they look upon the Vedic literature, the Vedas and the Puranas, as something quaint. And so there's not a lot of faith in the descriptions of the Vedas. And in the existence of a realm outside of material existence, the spiritual realm. You know, each universe is described, it's called a Brahmanda, overseen by Lord Brahma. And it's like an egg. And within that egg-shaped container, the living entities are basically born into ignorance. Born into ignorance. And so they don't really know where they came from, where they are right now, or where they're going. There is a heavy covering of this tama, or this ignorance, the tamaguna, the material quality of ignorance is prominent within the material creation. And so therefore people don't understand who they are, where they are, what they're doing, where they're going. This is common. But the Vedic literature is the, you know, another example that Prabhupada gives us of the manual. Whenever we get a piece of equipment, then it comes with a manual that describes what its purpose is. So similarly also, the material creation has a purpose. It is meant to be used in a particular way, and it's supposed to be utilized properly, and the proper understanding of the purpose of the creation is given in the Vedic literature, especially in the Puranas, and especially in the Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that the Puranas, and especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the cream of Vedic literature. Right? So, you know, the cream is the best part of the milk. When I was a kid, we used to get our milk delivered in bottles. Right? The milkman had the milkman and the baker and the greengrocer all used to deliver with a horse and buggy. Right? Did you have that in your town? Yep. Horse and buggy. And you'd leave your money out at night on the front veranda, and from the amount of money that you would put out, then the milkman and the milkman especially, not the baker. If the baker, you have to order, and the greengrocer, you go out and have a chat with him. You know, like in India, you have the sabji wala, right? And he goes down the street and he calls out whatever it is that he calls out. Sabji, right? Anyway, the competition in our family would be who would wake up first to get the milk. Because there was always the cream on the top of the milk. Huh? No homogenization in those days. Huh? And you know, it was the horse and the milkman used to work together, because the horse, you know, he'd done this many times, so he would know when to run, when to stop, and the milkman would just be running backwards and forwards through the houses, putting the milk in, and the horse would stop, and then the milkman would say giddy up, and then off the horse would go to the next spot, and then he'd stand there, and the milkman running backwards and forwards putting up. Anyway, the cream was highly sought after, because you could have it on your cornflakes, but in the morning, especially with in the summertime, like around about now, but probably in a month's time, you know, all of the apricots will be ripe, Mum would stew the apricots. So there's nothing better than stewed apricots and fresh cream on your cornflakes. Huh? You should try it. So anyway, the Srimad Bhagavatam similarly is the cream of Vedic literature. So it is highly sought after. Right? And why not? Because it describes the nature of everything, practically speaking. Right? A Purana, Ramesh Ramas mentioned this the other day, a Purana, in order for it to be authentic or to be recognized as a Purana, has to describe the creation of the universe and the structure of the universe. This is what makes the literature a Purana. And along with those descriptions, not just a description of the material creation, but a description of the spiritual world as well, because that's our ultimate destination. We're actually deathless. What is it? Nityam Sasvatam? We're eternal. Just we're being forced to accept these material forms, these material bodies, due to our misuse of our independence. In other words, bad karma. Right? Ugra karma. As a result of our poor choices and improper action, then we get reactions that force us to take birth. The Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature, but especially the Bhagavatam, teaches us how to adjust our behavior and our activity so that we don't have to take birth again in the material world. You know, there is a misconception that one cannot get free from the reactions of material existence. That it is impossible to get free from the birth, death, old age, and disease, but it is possible. And the Puranas teach us the methodology of how to solve the real problems of material existence, and that is get out of the place, and leave the material world and go to the spiritual world. And so the Bhagavatam is so valuable because it teaches us. As Prabhupada points out, there's no way that you and I can go to the Vaikuntha planets and have a look and see what it's like. Right? And so therefore the Bhagavatam gives us those descriptions. And so this is why this Shabda Gocharaha, which means, Shabda means the sound. The Vedas ultimately is a rendition of the transcendental sound vibration that comes from the Vaikuntha planet itself, from the Vaikunthas themselves. So Srimad Bhagavatam, very, very important, and why we study it on a daily basis. Because, it mentions in the Bhagavatam, it is our very means of conquest. To study the Bhagavatam gives us the key to the spiritual realm. It gives us the descriptions, the definitions, the process by which we can attain or achieve that realm, and a whole variety of other topics as well. It is not possible to know the spiritual realm by material efforts. Because even though the material realm is a reflection of the spiritual realm, the influence of the material energy covers over our original spiritual understanding, our spiritual identity. And we see without these very clear descriptions of the spiritual realm, the heavenly planets, all of the different, Prabhupada says, The reason for, one of the purposes, and so therefore a reason for establishing the temple of Vedic planetarium in Mayapur is to illustrate the descriptions that are given within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, that's going to be a challenge because, you know, there are descriptions even of the material creation that we can't see. What to speak, not to speak of the spiritual realm, which we, you know, definitely... But there are descriptions in the Bhagavatam of the material realm that we can't even work out. Big challenge. As the Prabhupada said, this is the reason why we study the Bhagavatam. Understand how the creation is actually structured. And you know, the various levels of existence before one gets to the topmost, Krishna Loka or Goloka. That's the topmost planetary system. We only understand a fraction of what's going on in the material world. We can only observe and see a fraction. And the material creation is only a quarter of the total creation. So, temple in Mayapur, Prabhupada says, is meant to give some shape to the description, to give some conception of the total creation as it is described in the Bhagavatam, which includes the material realm and the greater spiritual realm of the Vaikunthas. You know, it's described in the Brahma Samhita that even if we were to travel at the speed of the mind, which is, you know, instant, we would still not reach the Vaikuntha realm. You know, Prabhupada says, you know, they're trying to go to... Actually, they don't go to the moon anymore. Now we're going to Mars. We went to the moon, brought back some rocks, and now we don't go there anymore. Right? You know, we wasted all that money. But now we're wasting more money on going to Mars. And if you were to go to Mars, how long is it to get to Mars? Months. You know, it's hellish enough having to sit inside an aeroplane to fly to India in 18 hours or so. Right? Could you imagine sitting inside a rocket flying to Mars? There are people who, and you know, the thing is that when you go to Mars, have a guess what? You don't get to come back. Right? It's a one-way trip. Right? Yet people are putting their hands up and saying, yeah, I'll go. What happens if you have a panic attack halfway there? You think, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Let me out. I mean, I feel like that when I'm inside an aeroplane flying to... I think, I've had enough. Let me out of this thing. So anyway, we don't need to undergo that kind of struggle or ever. All we need to do is open up the pages of the Bhagavatam and we can, like a travel brochure, if you want to dream about where you're going, you open up the travel brochures and have a look. In one sense, it's not easy to travel to the Vaikuntha realm. Very, very difficult. But in another sense, it's very, very easy, in that we can just open up the pages of the Bhagavatam, read the descriptions, and then study the process. It's not a material mechanism. It's not a. To enter into the Vaikuntha realm doesn't depend on material qualifications, but rather the entrance into Vaikuntha is dependent upon one's spiritual qualifications, one's the spiritual identification. We're not the body, we're spiritual by nature. And the real methodology for learning this process is to hear the message, hear the messages, hear the descriptions of the destination and the means by which one is able to get to the destination. That's our whole bhakti process. You know, I was listening to a class a couple of times this week. I've listened to the same class, and Prabhupada says the purpose of our activities is to speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be able to talk to Krishna. One fellow was here the other day at the Sunday feast last week, and he was observing my interactions with a number of devotees, and he said, "You must be an important person around here." I said, "Maybe." He said, "Because everybody keeps coming up and talking to you." And I said, yeah, possibly I'm an important person. But he said, you know, if assuming that I'm an important person, he said, "Do you get communications from Prabhupada? And Krishna? Krishna talking to you?" I said, "Well, it's, you know, it would be wrong to say we don't get communication from Prabhupada. Right? But, you know, it's not like I'm having a conversation with Prabhupada all the time." Right? So we have our authorized processes by which Prabhupada communicates to us. How's that? How does Prabhupada communicate with you?
Through his books.
Yeah, through his books. We read his books. That way, yes, it's a bit of it's a one-way communication. Right? One-way communication. Although sometimes we might dream about Prabhupada. Right? But that's a dream, that doesn't count really. Right? Although, no, dreams of the spiritual master are considered to be very, you know, they're not ordinary. But, you know, we have to be careful about dreams. You know, I had a dream once that my guru told me that I should go and preach in Indonesia. And I thought, "Oh, that's interesting. I should go, maybe." And I thought, "Shall I write him a letter and confirm it? Shall I have a chat with the temple president, start making plans to go to Indonesia?" And then I decided not to. And then my guru came and he didn't mention anything about it, so I thought, "Oh, it was just a dream." So we do have to be careful about dreams, right? One time a devotee went to his GBC and he told him, "Prabhupada told me in a dream that I should, you know, do X, Y, Z." And then the GBC said, "Well, Prabhupada had a dream and I had a dream where Prabhupada told me you should do something else." So we have to be, you know. So, you know, our communications, we are receiving messages, yes, from the spiritual world. But they come through the authorized through the Bhagavat and the devotees. And yes, the goal is to receive, well, Prabhupada says to talk with Rishikesh. Well, we should be able to talk with Krishna. That's a measure of our success. Anybody here talking to Krishna? Huh? I've got some questions I want to ask him. A couple of things that I want to get cleared up. Huh? So that is the ultimate. That's the ultimate goal of existence, is to be able to communicate with Krishna. And so he was asking me, you know, you. And I was thinking, you know, anybody who claims that they're talking to God is usually crazy. Right? The man who shot John Lennon said that God told him to do it. Right? So, but Prabhupada says, this is, you know, we should be able to talk with Krishna. Right? So it was interesting. I thought about it. I said to him, no, you know, yes, we're receiving the messages from Krishna. This is the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're receiving messages, but we have to be very careful in assessing who's actually able to talk directly with God. Huh? Because there are many people who hear voices and they think it's God, and actually it's just an hallucination.
Yeah.
Huh? And then they go off and do crazy things. Actually, you know, they give the people who actually are able to communicate with God a bad name, because they're just crazy men running around, you know, doing crazy things. And people are not educated enough to be able to differentiate between the two. So, sabda-gocharaha, this is important. We are able to understand the nature of the Vaikuntha realm, and the people, the personalities who live, who reside there, through the authorized processes, right? And that's generally hearing from the Vedas. And then we study the Vedas, but with the guidance of a teacher, right? You can't go to Melbourne University and enter the library of the of medicine, right? And then just read the books. So you want to, you know, you could go and read all of the books and become an expert, theoretically, in surgery. You know, become a surgeon. Right? If I went to you and you said, I'm an expert surgeon, I've read all the books, I know everything about it. And I say, well, who have you learnt it from? He says, no, I just read the books. Would you trust such a person to be a surgeon? Right? Have you done any practical? No. I've just read all the books. I know what to do because I've read all the books. But, you know, reading all of the books is certainly recommended for a surgeon. But you also have to have practiced under the tutelage, or under the instruction of the professor of surgery. You know, you have to have done some practical work. And so, you know, devotional service is not just reading books, although it is emphasized. This is an interesting point, you know. And Prabhupada does say we should, you know, here in Melbourne, he kind of teased the devotees. And this was a, and it was a, you know, Prabhupada said, there's a problem with my disciples. They don't think my books are for reading. They think they're for selling. Right? So, Prabhupada was concerned about the problem of not reading. Right? But there is a problem with just only reading also. You just become a bookworm and don't understand the practical application. Right? So, yes, we should read the books and study them, but at the same time, we need to do that under the tutelage or under the guidance of our gurus. Right? And sometimes a guru will say, okay, too much book, now go out and do something. Right? Because we're the other way. We're just always doing and not reading. But there should be a balance. And in that way, then through a theoretical understanding and then a practical application, right? Practical application. Prabhupada says, we're not armchair philosophers. Right? What's an armchair philosopher? Yeah, thinks of, reads lots of books but never gets up to do anything. So, sabdagochara means we study the Vedic literature but under the auspices of the spiritual master who can give us a clear understanding of what the meaning is and then how to apply it. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna says, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. To whom? To those Tesham satata yuktanam, those who are always engaged in devotional service. So, you know, devotional service means, you know, there's active. It's active process. It is not just it's not a process of just meditation and contemplation. But it is a very active engagement also. So, you know, in one sense, bhakti is a combination of karma, action, right, and jnana, knowledge. It's a combination of the two. Where the activities are done in a proper understanding of what the creation is, who it belongs to, what its purpose is. Right. And so therefore the action is performed with a proper understanding. You know, we need to know what we're doing. There are many rituals, right, in the practice of devotional service, many rituals. And you could be just doing those rituals, you know, half asleep, not knowing what you're doing. Just like, this is the whole purpose of Govardhan Puja. When Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men were getting ready to perform a sacrifice, Krishna would say, what are you doing? Right? Is this just something that you do, you know, because you did it last year and you did it the year before and your grandma did it and your grandpa did it? Right? Why are you doing this? Right? So we also need to know, and that's why the philosophical understanding is very important, and the study of the Bhagavatam is important because it gives us a proper understanding of what we're doing, so that when we're performing our activities, we can also do them in the proper mood. Isavasyam idam sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna, basically. And we should remember that when we're performing our daily activities. And what we do, yat karoshi yat asnasi yat jajosi tahasi yat, everything that we do should be done as an offering to Krishna, knowing that he's the proprietor and that I'm his servant. This is how this mentality is what will enable us to enter into the Vaikuntha planets. That service mood, that service attitude. That was mentioned in the previous. Verse. In the Vaikuntha planets, all the residents are similar in form to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's difficult to work out who's the Lord and who's not in the Vaikuntha planets, because everybody looks like Lord Vishnu. No? However, they all engage in devotional service to the Lord without desires for sense gratification. So even though they look like Lord Vishnu, they don't think they're Lord Vishnu. They still have the service attitude. That's the key ingredient by which one can exit the material world and enter into the spiritual world, even here and now. Right? This is the key by which we get out of the material world and can enter into the spiritual world, even if we're still walking around in this body. Having that service. And Krishna speaks to us and teaches us through the engagements of devotional service. So we can have a conversation with Krishna. But it requires us to be very open to his messages. Right? Because sometimes Krishna tells us to do things and we think, what? That's not what I want to do. Right? And so in one sense, you know, we don't like hearing what Krishna tells us to do. We think, yeah, I want to speak to Krishna, but then Krishna starts speaking to us. We're like, whoa, hang on a second. So we like to be in ignorance. We like to keep ourselves in ignorance because that means then we can ignore what Krishna is telling us to do, actually. You know, to be a very surrendered soul is not easy, because it means we then dedicate everything, we leave all of the results . All of our endeavours have to be focused on doing what Krishna wants. What is it? Here. Tamin naradayan harim. Ye nimitta nimittena dharmana radayan harim is the previous verse. They all engage in devotional service of the Lord without desires for sense gratification. Now, that's one of the advantages of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the advantages of studying the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially studying the quality, the characteristics, the attributes, the devotional service, the devotional demeanor of the residents of Vrindavan. Because the residents of Vrindavan exemplify this mood of full dedication to Krishna, full dedication to serving and pleasing. Their pleasure is Krishna's pleasure. And the advanced devotees, what is it? Matschita Matgata Prana Badayanta Parasparam Katayantascha Mamnityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. They like, they get their pleasure from hearing and chanting about Krishna, and the advanced devotees hearing it, you know, Prabhupada says, Krishna doesn't mean Krishna alone. Right? Prabhupada says, when the king comes, that means the king, the queen, his ministers, his horses, his chariots, his elephants, his servants. You know, when the king comes, then everybody, just like Prince Charles is in Australia at the moment. Did you know that? Didn't know that?
Yes.
You did? Yeah, Prince Charles is here. So you know when Prince Charles comes, what does that mean? Who comes with him? Camilla. Okay, for those who are not Anglophiles, Camilla is Prince Charles' wife.
Was a girlfriend, wasn't she?
She was his girlfriend. Yeah, when he was married too. Hare Krishna. So anyway, you know, the Bhagavatam gives us an opportunity to study not only the Vaikuntha realm, but the nature of the residents that live within it, and their characteristics, their qualities, and the advanced devotees, you know, are addicted to, they're thoroughly attracted and absorbed in and meditate on these descriptions. They're inspired. We're inspired by the descriptions in the Bhagavatam. So, the very means of conquest is described is by regularly reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, in this section of the Bhagavatam, third canto, we're getting a description of the kingdom of God. And by absorbing ourselves in these descriptions, we can get a full understanding of what the nature of the Vaikuntha world is. Particularly characterized by the fact that everything in the Vaikuntha realm is in the absorbed in or covered by the Sudashattva or pure goodness. Now, there's one interesting point. Prabhupada mentions in the translation, because the Lord is there, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. Bhagavan. What is it? Yatra charja puman aste. The original Adya Puman, Adipurush, right, is there. Which is an interesting sentence, isn't it? In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original person, Adya Puman, Adipuman. And he and the realm in which he lives is understood through this hearing. Then, now I think it's a translation of Vrishaha. Vrisha. There was Vrisha was a devotee who was initiated here in Melbourne, wasn't he? Vrisha, Prabhupada disciple. Vrisha. Served in Melbourne, yeah. As did most of the devotees in the 70s at one time or another. Now, Prabhupada says here, he contributes religious progress for the devotees. Right? And I think that, this is my speculation, just looking at the word for word in the translation, So, you know, he's the personification of religious principles. If we follow those religious principles, then automatically our devotional hour will make spiritual advancement. Right? So in that way, he contributes to our spiritual progress. Right? So we follow his instructions. We follow the example of the residents of Vaikuntha. This is why we study the Bhagavatam. You know, because we see all the great devotees that, you know, who do we find in the pages of the Bhagavatam? Maharaj Prithu, Maharaj Chitra Ketu, Prahlad Maharaj, even interestingly, personalities like Vritrasura, he's a demon, Bali Maharaj. Right, they're demons, born in a family of asuras, but they're devotees first. So that covers it. You know, we may think, oh, I'm not very qualified, I'm born in a family of demons. It's okay. That's all right. That's not a bad qualification for a devotee, actually. It can be an advantage because, you know, a devotee is meant to be humble. So, you know, if we're born in a family of demons, we can't claim, oh, look how, you know, exalted I am. But we see things in the proper perspective for what they really are. Or we see ourselves in a proper perspective and who we really are. But it's interesting here. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Vrishaha. The personification of religious principles. So, in the Vaikuntha realm, it is primarily, not primarily, it is completely absorbed or controlled by the pure mode of goodness. There's no tinge of passion and ignorance. Passion being, you know, desire for personal, right? Sense gratification. It's personal enjoyment. The enjoyment is all for Krishna, which is what we do here, basically, right? The temple is a special place because everything is done for the pleasure of Radha Balabha. Or it should be. And then if that mood of service is present, then automatically we'll make spiritual progress. We'll automatically make spiritual advancement. The Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas, and for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas toward the kingdom of God, the Lord himself helps his devotees. So Krishna's helping us go back home to Godhead by being present here in the form of the Bhagavatam, by being present here in the form of the devotees, the pastimes of the devotees, the activities of the devotees, the activities of devotional service. We're very fortunate. Does anybody have any comments or questions? It's a late breakfast. We're having a late breakfast. Hare Krishna. Why do we study books like the Srimad Bhagavatam if we're not into Gyan? Why do we study the Bhagavad Gita? Well, that's why our activities have to be tempered with the right kind of learning. Right? And we're not interested in learning per se. We're interested in bhakti. And so our learning or our study is not simply just to accumulate a lot of knowledge, information, so that we can, you know, show how learned we are. We test that learning by practical application in devotional service. And that's the action. So bhakti is dynamic and well considered. It is not something capricious or speculative. Do you know what I mean by capricious? You just do things at a whim. It's not whimsical. And it is always in reference to the Shastra. Prabhupada says if your activities or your learning is not corroborated by the Shastra, then it's useless. Right? So bhakti, that's why I say bhakti is a combination of karma and jnana, the right combination, not the wrong, not, you know, because there's right action and there's right understanding. Right? That's what makes bhakti potent. And the knowledge is knowing how to offer everything to Krishna. That's the real learning. But that's based on a proper understanding of things. It's avasyam, midam, savam, and a whole range of other topics that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why we study the Bhagavad Gita. Although, you know, the Bhagavad Gita is pretty amazing book, right? Because basically the Bhagavad Gita was spoken to justify the slaughter of 640 million people, right? So what kind of a God is it who, you know, wants to see 640 million people killed? Right? What kind of a God? Is that a compassionate God or what? No?
He is compassionate God.
He is? Are you sure?
Yes.
Why? Yeah, they were a huge problem because they were demons. You know, there's so many demons getting killed. Everybody has to die at some point in time. Yeah. It was just that was the point in time that they were, see you later. But they all were liberated as well, right? So, you know, bhakti is a real mystery. It can be very confusing, you know. Here's Krishna teaching what is considered to be the topmost spiritual treatise, right? And yet it's on a battlefield. And it's being taught to encourage Arjuna to go out and slaughter all these people. That is far out. And why? You know, why the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita are a huge challenge, because it depends on devotion. It depends on devotion. And only those with a devotional vision can understand why Krishna's doing that. Otherwise, from an external, you know, from a material point of view, it's like, what is going on here? How can this be saintly or even godly? Or even, how can God condone the slaughter of 600, anyway, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people. So it requires devotion. And so that means then a proper understanding of proper action. And how that has to be done ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna, and how that is a huge sacrifice. Can you imagine? I had a dream last night. For some reason this last week I've been dreaming a lot. Right, and I had a dream last night that I was fighting with the devotees in Melbourne. I've been doing it for years. But I had to kill them.
Oh, really?
I was killing them. It's a dream, remember, it's a dream, so it's okay. It's going to be a little wacky. But my realization from that was, and I was horrified. I was horrified. Because the realization that I had was, you know, I've been fighting with the devotees for years, I should stop doing that. Or maybe they're just fighting me, I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that one. But made me realize how painful it was, it must have been for Arjuna to have to fight with his relatives. And so, you know, the sacrifice of devotional service is not something that you do casually. And we see that in the sacrifice of the gopis. Right? They had to give up their reputation, their families, their parents were against what they were doing. You know, it was a huge sacrifice. And so, you know, in one sense, we tend to take the process of devotional service casually. And we become familiar with it, right? But actually, the process of devotional service, in order to reap the full results and benefits, one has to do the full sacrifice. But we're not keen on that. Oh, I'll just give a little bit today. And tomorrow I'll give everything. Huh? We put off surrendering to Krishna until tomorrow. Do you do that? Or you give everything today. You gave everything yesterday. We've got nothing left to give. But isn't it a challenge? You know, because surrendering to Krishna is something that you have to do every day. And you have to give 100% every day. If we do that, then we'll become very mellow, soft-hearted devotees. But we don't, unfortunately. Or it's a challenge. So, you know, it's action with the right knowledge, which means knowing that ultimately it's all for Krishna's pleasure. It all belongs to Krishna and it's all for his pleasure. And wherever it may lead us, wherever it might take us, that's what we're prepared to do. Even slaughtering 640 million of our friends and relatives. Okay, imagine that. Have you got any brothers? Right? Cousins? You have a lot of affection for them, right? Would you be prepared to go and kill them tomorrow if you had to? Would you? Be hard. So that's what Arjuna faced. Okay, just a thought. Gandharajana Bhagavatam ki jai, Jana Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Govardhan Puja ki jai.